Welcome to the Saints Happy Hour Podcast with host Ralph Malbro and featuring bloggers Andrew Juge of SaintsNation.com, Kevin Held of The Team Drops the Ball, and Dave Cariello of Canal Street Chronicles. This podcast is nothing but serious football talk and hardcore analysis.
Which four of you would survive the longest in the zombie apocalypse, and in which order would you die?
Well, Ralph, no offense, you're going first.
Oh, definitely. No.
The zombies would smell Dave's sugar blood and target him.
They'd get him.
I don't even have a joke, Dave smells like nougat.
Now, here's your host, Ralph Malbro.
Yeah, we really need a new open. But,
We do need a new open, and now that I've believe in my heart that I have the audio all straightened out after the clusterfuck that it's been for about 5 weeks, I can get on that. All we need is for me to listen to a couple of podcasts and pick out a funny soundbite from you, and then I can put it together. Thanks for joining us at Saints Happy Hour Podcast. Hopefully the audio will be better tonight. Listen, become a patron. It's a dollar. You donate a dollar for a month. And you get access to all the Patreon podcasts. We're $40 away from me and Andrew doing an extra podcast during the week. You can donate at different levels, but if you donate a dollar, you get everything. So you get access to all of it. So go there, look at it. Thanks, everybody, for donating. It's been a blast. Andrew, it's difficult. You know, we have to talk about – I think we need to start the show and talk about Cam Jordan and Trump, even though we don't want to. I think we need to, right?
No, absolutely not.
Shut up and sit down, you big bald fuck.
All right, I think that was a good chat. We covered it. So we'll get on to the actual game. So, Dave, we did a quick mini podcast, but we didn't get your thoughts. What were your thoughts on the Jacksonville game? Did you have anything that jumped out, or is it so long ago you don't even remember it?
Cool.
Dave, are you there?
Oh, sorry, I was on mute.
No, classic.
Sorry.
What Dave was saying was that he was so impressed that they call themselves Saxonville, and yet it was the Saints sacking the ever-loving shit out of them.
I thought it was good. It was nice to see them, come from behind and get the win, even though it's totally meaningless. You guys were hard on Taysom Hill.
Wait, you actually listened to that podcast?
No, but when we were watching the game during the game, you guys were, you know,
oh,
Ralph
oh,
had, you know, Ralph
yeah,
was
I was,
kind
I
of
was in and out of love with Taysom Hill like for about six different times, I won't lie.
I thought he played a very good game. I don't really know what else you would have expected from him. And I was listening to radio guys like Eric Ritchie on 1280 AM or whatever. He was like, oh, Taysom Hill, he still needs a lot of work, blah, blah, blah. He went 8 for 9. So he missed one pass. You know, the only gripe I think you could make is that he likes to tuck and run and bail out earlier than he probably should. But I think we all knew that that's the kind of player he was. I like the way he throws. He made some very good throws. Obviously, I like the way he runs. He led the team down the field for a touchdown. I thought that was a pretty good showing. And I think that anybody who says otherwise is.
I hear you, Dave. I hear you. I think the main thing for me is when I watch him play. The first thing that jumps out at me is that he makes his first read, and if it's not there, he's bailing.
You know,
normally from a developed pro quarterback, that first read is in there and he progresses, you know, and you saw Savage do that. And so, you know, I mean, and you look at the way Hill played and the hits that he took and how many times he got out of the pocket, and I just watch a guy do that, and I'm thinking to myself, like,
but he's so much fun.
He could
be a catastrophe,
like,
or 70 yard touchdown run at any moment.
He wouldn't last 2 weeks. He would not last 2 weeks in the NFL. Plus, playing like that. I mean, he would get injured, you know, and it's just, it's fun and it's exciting, but it's just, it's also like, I watch that and I'm like, this can't be our backup quarterback because the way he plays is totally unsustainable.
Here's the thing, Andrew, like, caring about backup quarterback is like somebody asking me, like, you know, Ralph, if a meteor hits your wife, do you have a plan to water her plants in her exotic garden? I mean, does it even matter? I mean, her plants are fucking doomed. If Drew Brees isn't playing, I want Taysom Hill, because the Saints ain't winning and Tom Savage is boring as fuck. At least Taysom Hill will be interesting on Sunday.
Well, I think Saints fans have had this obsession that we're going to draft Drew's heir. And, you know, whether it's, you know, the Saints fans want the Aaron Rodgers to Brett Favre or the Andrew Luck to Peyton Manning. You know, they.
Or the Montana to Young.
Yeah. Well, Young to Montana. Yeah. But, like, I don't think Young was drafted, actually. But anyway, it's one of those things where, you know, I think the Saints fans are just obsessed with, like, some heir being groomed under Brees and being the heir apparent. And so we've been hungry for that. But I think it's important to remember that the Saints, not granted, Brees is the greatest free agent signing of all time, but the Saints landed Brees in free agency. And so it's not inconceivable that they end up deciding, you know what? We don't like some of these guys we've drafted. We don't like some of the guys we've groomed behind Brees. And when it's time for Brees to go, they may just say, you know what? We're going to get our quarterback in free agency like the Vikings did this year when they got Kirk Cousins, or like the Redskins did when they traded for Alex Smith. Like, there are avenues to get an established starting quarterback if you don't like your youth and your talent pool. So that may end up being the route the Saints go.
Especially if you feel like your roster's loaded, and, like, say the Saints would win the Super Bowl this year and Drew Brees would be like, I'm Elwaying it and I'm riding off in the sunset. I could see the Saints totally being like, we're going to sign Teddy Bridgewater and he's not going to be Brees, but our roster's loaded and we'll be okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, exactly. And so, you know, to get back to Dave's point, like, the sacks that he took at the end of the first half, you know, to me, that was really bad, because in a 2-minute offense, you got to get rid of the ball. And most of the time that Taysom Hill was playing, they were kind of running two-minute offense. And I think that's why he looked good, because that's, you know, that lends to his skill set, and he's able to get out of the pocket and he's able to kind of play backyard football a little bit. But, you know, quarters 1 through 3, when you're not running that style of offense,
I feel like Dave is the last one on the Taysom Hill hype train.
Often saying capable. My only point with Taysom Hill is right now, what I saw, like, I'm not seeing that translate to a starting quarterback that wins games and stays healthy. So I'm looking forward to seeing him play more and hoping that he can show that he can go through progressions and stay in the pocket a little bit.
So, Dave, I'm going to play the sound again because I like it so much. Who's left? Is there anybody that's still driving the hype train for you at full speed?
By the way, we were very close to getting the Taysom Hill to Tre'Quan Smith touchdown.
So close.
That should be mentioned.
Catch, too. I mean, that was not a good ball by Taysom Hill.
Right.
That was an insane catch by Tre'Quan.
Oh, and so, by the way, Tom Savage nearly killed Kumara.
He did.
I would say right now that, you know, Tre'Quan Smith is probably the big. I mean, everybody seems to, you know, everybody's like, yep, that's it. Lock him on. He's on the roster, which is great. But, I mean,
I feel justified, right?
For the most part, yeah, I would say. And, I mean, you know, he's got history on his side. I mean, Sean Payton has continuously over the last 11, 12 years shown that he will regularly find, the you know, diamonds in the rough as far as wide receivers are concerned. you know, and obviously the Boston Scott, you know, people are still hyped about him.
He looked okay. I don't necessarily think, though, like, no, the running back situation, like, I don't feel like it's any different than before the game started. I didn't feel like I looked at any other running backs. It was like, wow, he's going to get carries. Like,
they wasted too much time handing the ball off to Ingram and Kamara. Like, they
Kamara
got
had
10,
four
10
touches
carries.
Too many.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't they see what happened to Geis and what happened to Saquon Barkley in practice today? Kamara needs to be on the sideline, eating Airheads, looking cool.
Sipping an orange Julius.
Exactly. What happened to Like,
did he tear his ACL?
Who?
Barkley?
No, he
just had
got
a tweet
hurt
today.
In practice. Like, it tweaked his hammy or something.
I mean, that's a little bit thing.
Here's a question for you guys. I don't even know how to pronounce his name. Is it J-Ron or J-Run? Jaron Elliott? I'm going to say it's Jaron. Jaron Elliott and DeVaro Lawrence both had 5 tackles. Elliott had 2.5 sacks. Lawrence had 2 sacks. Are they the Al-Qadeen Muhammads of this year that tear up preseason, make the team, and then do nothing all season long?
I would say Elliott maybe, but the thing is with Muhammad at least was like a draft pick, so the Saints had a reason to like keep him and nurture him. I don't know. Like the Saints, this roster, they're gonna cut and they cut NFL quality dudes. Like we make fun of Devontae Harris for being terrible and he got burned again. He was in midseason form, costing the Saints in late in the game. But dude, Tampa claimed him. And the thing was, 3 other teams claimed him too. Like 4 teams were like, Devontae Harris, you're good enough. We want to take a look at you. Now, granted, he may or may not make the roster for Tampa. But the thing is, like,
God,
this roster day,
the Saints
deep.
Play them week one. I hope Devontae Harris makes a team. Can you imagine what Drew Brees must be thinking right now? Like, oh, Devontae Harris week one. Please, please let me throw to him.
Like, I don't care what Sean Payton throws. Whoever's guarding, whoever's Harris guarding, you're getting the ball.
Although Devontae Harris seems to always do awesome against Drew Brees in practice. So maybe that's like the one quarterback. It's like Drew Brees' kryptonite is Devontae Harris. That's why he keeps making the team. It's the only quarterback he plays well against.
So besides Raekwon Smith and other things at the game, the thing that Dave, that and me and Andrew were talking about this today and texting back and forth, but it's getting concerning. Like, it's getting to the point now with Marcus Davenport, like, if he doesn't start practicing by the end of this week, like...
Not a game, a practice.
A practice. Just, if he doesn't practice, Dave, though, I get worried about him, because he's not Lattimore or Ramchek, where he played at a big-time program for 4 years. Like, that dude needs practice reps, and if he doesn't practice this week, like, then it's like, you only get 2 weeks of practice. Like, I start to worry if they're going to get anything out of him until, like, Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we talked about it last week. I think we said that if he's not back by, like, the 3rd preseason game, then, you know, he's missed a significant amount of time, and you might want to consider redshirting him for the year. I mean, again, this is not a guy. What soundbite was that?
That was for Office Space.
Was that Lundberg?
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
I mean, Davenport isn't a guy like Lattimore, who he's a first round pick, but I mean, he's not a guy who everybody said, yeah, he's going to come in and he's going to be able to start for you right away and pick it up really quickly. I mean, this is a guy who was already needed some. You know, some more work and needed some molding. So he's not having the opportunity to do that. This is the time right now where a lot of that is supposed to be happening and it's not happening. So, valid concern.
Andrew, I have a friend in Vegas. Should I tell him to put $200 on Marcus Davenport making a secret visit to Philadelphia to see the world-renowned groin/core injury doctor.
The hernia surgery?
Yes.
I've been told by someone that
sources.
Reports on the Saints. Yeah, that it's not. They don't think it's a big deal. They don't think it's something serious. So take that for what it's worth. But I don't know. We'll see. You know, to me, the thing with Davenport is,
if you believe,
I think, you know, we are conditioned at this point to believe that every rookie, every first round pick is going to be like Kamara and Lattimore. And it's just, it's not realistic. It's just not. I mean, you look at Vic Beasley for the Falcons, and he had 4 sacks his rookie year and 15 and a half his second year. You look at Cam Jordan, he had 1 sack his first year. I mean, a lot of these pass rushers.
4 sacks right now, I would sign that paper tonight.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's entirely possible that he misses, you know, most of the preseason because guys get hurt. And, you know, I do think this is why you don't trade up in the first round and give up 2 first round picks for a guy, because then the microscope, it's exacerbated. It's even more significant that we're scrutinizing this guy as opposed to allowing him to grow at his own pace. And guys get injured, like, that happens. It's part of football. But like, it's totally possible that he's going to be inactive for the first 4 weeks of the season, and maybe he plays in his first game in week 5 or 6, and that, you know, by the end of the year he's played 11 games and has 3 sacks. Like, that's a likely scenario, that's how the season's going to play out for him. And if that's how it goes down, like, we shouldn't be pissed and calling him a bust because he's a rookie. Again, Cam Jordan had 1 sack his rookie year. Like, these guys can't all make the Pro Bowl. You know, the Saints can't hit Yahtzee with every single first-round pick they draft.
I don't like that negativity.
I'm just saying, like, I think his whole
can't
thing
all be diamonds,
out,
baby.
Yeah, his whole thing coming out was that he was raw and it was going to take time. So, yes, in a perfect world, he would have been at every practice and he would have been in training camp because he needs the reps sorely. And because his learning curve is maybe a little bit bigger than your average first round pick, not being in training camp really hurts him. And so maybe he won't fully get it until year 2 or year 3. And, you know, he's going to be a sub pass rusher this year that doesn't play a bunch. And, you know, like, I just want to be realistic. And I think as Saints fans, like, we all need to come to grips with this. I think he's not going to be a huge contributor this year.
Dave, when will you start to panic and be like this about Marcus Davenport? When's the panic going to set in for you?
What was that bit? Who was that? That was a little
that
girl.
That was from old Will Ferrell, Funny or Die, the little girl I want to get my drink on.
Wait. So what was the question?
The question: when are you going to panic about Marcus Davenport?
I'm not panic. I'm not going to panic.
When are you going to grab your sippy cup of bourbon?
Yeah, I'm not going to panic until like next year.
I'm drinking right now. I'm so worried about this audio. I'm not going to lie.
I'll probably start to be disappointed, you know, after the preseason if he hasn't practiced. But panicking, I'm not going to do that till 2019.
So, I mean...
Well, I mean, realistically, Dave, like, what do you expect out of Davenport this year?
You mean like stats? I don't know. 3 sacks. Healthy, you know, playing more games than he misses, you know, that's one. But I'm not expecting huge things, no, but.
Yeah. See, like, there was some guy on Twitter today. I'm not going to call him out. I'm not going to say his name. But, like, he was like, you know, he needs to get back to practice quickly if he's going to, like, maybe stumble into 8 sacks this year. And I'm thinking, like, That's the problem. Like, we are putting too much expectation on this rookie. He's not going to stumble to 8 sacks. Like, it's not going to happen.
Yeah, and I just think the Saints, they moved up to get him, and he's really raw. And the thing was, I mean, they overpaid to get from where they were to 14, and we can argue it backwards and forwards, but I mean, I just think he's a project, dude. But the thing is, like, if he can be a rotation contributing guy by December, I'll take it.
Then we'll feel great. Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. And then you know, if the Saints are in the playoffs, then maybe, you know, he's kind of turning it on and finding his stride in the big games and he gets a huge forced fumble in a playoff game or something. And then, we're feeling great going into 2019.
The only thing I told you, and you jumped on me, you said I was comparing him to Stanley Jean-Baptiste, but not really. But my point was, if the Saints, Andrew, have like massive problems or injuries at defensive end, where like Okafor, he's always hurt, so he gets hurt. Hendrickson is nicked up again. George Johnson isn't a unicorn again, you know, and they have all these injury issues, and they're desperate to play a dude opposite Cam Jordan, and they're still not playing Marcus Davenport. That would be a concern for me. But if he plays 35% of the plays, like Okafor's first year, I mean, Onyemata. Onyemata yeah. played, like, what, 35% of the plays in 2016, and he was raw as fuck, and he was up and down, not really great, but as long as Marcus Davenport is playing and in the rotation, it's fine.
Yeah, and Akeem Hicks was raw his rookie year, but, you know, similarly, the Saints played him a lot because they were like, this guy is so athletic, we need him on the field. We need him to learn on the job, so.
Dave, the Saints play Arizona. Will you be in the game, or have you given away your tickets because preseason is for losers? Is that your attitude? What's your attitude? You going to the game or not?
I am not.
You're not?
You're not.
So do you like wait and go to not go to the preseason, then go to the regular season games? How does that work for you?
I do now. Up until last year, I used to go to every single game, including all the preseason games. But, just so that it doesn't take up all of my free time on the weekends.
That commute for matter is torture.
No, it's not the commute. It's it's like an entire day. It's like on a day that I'm off of work, and it's an entire day that I can't help out with the kids and all that. So up until recently,
you mean it's an entire day that you're safe and having a break from the kids?
Well, I don't have to deal with them as much as my wife does.
My wife.
But I actually sold my tickets to the last preseason game, the week 4 game. And I guess I'm going to have to.
You give them away or so you sell them?
I'm going to have to give away this week since nobody's bought them. But
my mom gives them away. The Marlboro family tickets. She's like, the preseason games are at night, whatever. She'll give them to like people that she rents her the bottom of her house out to, or she'll give them to my sister and they'll take the kids, and it's a preseason game, so you feel like you can leave at halftime or whenever, right, when the kids get rowdy and bored.
Right.
So before we get to Twitter questions, if we end up with any, Andrew,
I think we just got one.
Andrew, do you have Juju's judgments tonight for us?
I do. Do, do, do. Yeah, where's the music, Ralph? Oh, here we go. Do, do, do.
There it is. It's there. Right. It's low. I gotta play it low, so it doesn't overwhelm us.
Yeah, if you're scared. You're scared of how it's going to treat the audio.
Yeah, I am. So it's really
weird. All right, take number
all
one.
All rise. Court is now in session.
Take number one. The audio for tonight's show is going to be flawless.
Don't say that, man. We got like 10 minutes left. You put a lot of pressure on us.
You just fucking jinxed it, man.
All right, take number two. The Saints are going to keep 3 quarterbacks. Tom Savage will be the backup, and Taysom Hill will be the third string. However, they will keep all 3 active on game day because they'll need Taysom Hill to be the holder and cover on kickoffs.
Interesting. I think I saw Taysom Hill as the backup guy. He's the backup holder. I think Taysom Hill, can they practice squad him? Could they still practice squad him?
I think so. Yeah, absolutely.
I think they're going to practice squad him, and they're
going
to like.
Taysom Hill is going to be practice squad.
I think Taysom Hill is going to be
on special teams.
He's going to be practice squad, and he's going to be special teams as needed. You know, like some weeks they feel like they need better special teams or whatever. I don't know. I think his roster spot's tenuous because I don't know. Dave,
you don't.
I think his ten. I don't know. I need to see more. And I'm all about the Taysom Hill hype train, believe me. Dave, what do you say about Taysom Hill? You think he's on the roster as of now? Dave, did you mute yourself?
It's they're going to keep three quarterbacks or two.
Oh, yeah, they're going to keep three.
So you agree with me?
Yep.
All right. Next.
Next. Let's see here. I should have come prepared with this. What was the one you were telling me earlier today?
People that cook, people that eat well-done steaks are trash human beings.
I'll go with that one.
My wife just gave me the evil
my
eye.
Wife.
She eats her meat. She eats her meat like a leather shoe.
That is, that's disturbing.
That's unacceptable.
I mean, it's one thing if you go to like a chain restaurant that's kind of mediocre or whatever, and you want to get like medium. All right, but if you're going to like a nice steakhouse and you're getting well done, like why don't you just set your fucking money on fire?
You know what's funny is so. I lived in France for a while, and they are notorious in Paris for undercooking their meats. And so
they like moves on the plate, man.
A lot of
and they put a fried egg in a pizza. French people are fucking weird. That's why they were wars.
If you ask for a steak well done in France, you get like medium rare at best. You know, and so my dad used to go to dinner with this guy, and he would always order. He liked his steak well done, and so. He would order a steak carbonized. Basically, like he would order it black. He would order it black to basically emphasize to the waiter that he wanted it, you know, American well done. Which I always found funny.
I want American well done. I want it burned to
He said carbonized. He would say that.
Carbonized? What is he fucking? He wants it. He wants it Han Solo'd.
I don't know, man. The French are weird. Like they have a very like sarcastic sense of humor. So it's like you're being a dick, but like the waiter, you know, they take it and they're like, okay, I get your point. Like you want it well done. You want it actually well done, not French well done.
All right, let's get to some Twitter questions. This is from Mike. By the way, Mike, thanks a bunch for helping me with the audio. He also runs Banana Meter for his wrestling podcast, Booking the Territory. He helped me out a ton as we went back and forth. He even got in a Skype call and we were sharing screens back and forth. Mike, I love you, baby. Do we really need to see Kamara take another preseason snap? I vote no, as in hell no. The answer is no. Does anyone disagree?
Absolutely not.
Let's see. This is a good question,
like,
Dave.
Somebody, one of you, I think it was you, Ralph, one of the two of you said earlier, like, we don't want a Geis, another Geis situation.
Right.
No, and here's the thing. Like, Bill Barnwell wrote a column today about NFL players likely to regress. Kamara was number one because there's been no back in NFL history to average 6 yards a carry on 100 touches and 10 yards of reception on 80 catches. So like,
but him not duplicating his stats, that doesn't mean he's regressing. That's like saying a hitter that was MVP and had like a 357 batting average, and then he has 317 the next year, and they're like, oh, he's regressed. His batting average is 40 points lower. No, 317 is still a ridiculous all-star batting average. And that's all within the variables of a all-star performance, you know? And so if Kamara averages 4.9 yards per carry this year, he didn't freaking regress. It's all within the acceptable range of what a superstar player does.
He's going to be fine. He's going to be fine if he's not hurt.
That's the dumbest thing. Like, you don't look at his stats and say, oh, his average yards per carry is 5.4 this year. It was 6.1 last year. He's regressed. Sorry, no.
Yeah, no, he'll be fine if he's not hurt. This is a great question from Alfredo, Dave. Yahoo Sports declared the Minnesota Vikings and Atlanta Falcons the most tortured fan bases in the NFL. Do you think that's correct?
The Vikings and the Falcons?
Yeah.
In all of sports?
No, in the NFL.
Oh.
You think it's worse to be the Browns or the Vikings?
Oh, yeah, that's right, the Browns.
Would you rather have like just a trunk of playoff pain like Minnesota, right. Four Super Bowl right. losses, a ton of they have more NFC title losses than any team, right?
The Bills have to be more like the Vikings and the Falcons.
Yeah, but the Bills haven't been relevant since their four Super Bowls. I mean, the Vikings, since they went to four Super Bowls in the 70s, I want to say they've been to 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, like 6 NFC championships and not even gotten to the Super Bowl. So is it worse to be have a trunk full of torture, horrible playoff losses, Dave? Or is it worse to be the Browns and just never be relevant and just be a laughing stock? Like, what's worse?
I think it's worse to never, you know, better to have loved and lost than to never have loved at all, right?
Yeah.
Because the season, at least Minnesota last year, they can say, hey, we went 13-3. We had that play that we won't talk about against the Saints. At least the season was fun. You know, and it's not like they lost a close game to the Eagles. The Eagles curb stomped them.
As lifelong Saints fans, we know what it's like to be where the Browns are now. And, I mean, there's nothing worse than that.
I don't know, man. The Saints, the 70s are a long – like, the Saints haven't been a laughingstock since, like, the early 80s. I mean, that's 35-plus years ago. I don't know that people under the age of 30, they might talk about it, but they didn't experience – like, there's no Saints fan under the age of 35 that's been through a really horrible patch of losses. I mean –
for me, first of all, I've suffered through Ditka, and that was horrible. But I think it's less that I was alive in the 60s and 70s, and it's more that, like, my whole family was. My uncles, my dad, yeah. my immediate family. And they beat into my head as a kid constantly as I was excited about Saints games and hoping for wins and wanting them to win in the playoffs and break that seal of winning their first playoff game. And having my whole family constantly tell me that they're never going to do it. They're a bunch of losers. Like, it can't happen because they suck. And, like, this whole negativity that permeated the culture. And so, like, I would argue that while I wasn't alive in the 60s and 70s, I didn't experience the losses. The mentality and the negativity was very much a part of my Saints fanhood at an early age. And I know you experienced that. Hello.
I don't know. He either muted himself or he's gone.
Well, I guess I doomed us.
I mean, we were like pretty much almost done.
God damn it. Ralph, unmute yourself.
I muted myself. No, but
you
but
muted yourself.
I did. I muted myself.
What took you so long?
I don't have that much experience with the Saints with the paper bags. I mean, most of my Saints experience is Mora, which
did you hear?
Even Mora, except for the rock bottom, was 7-9 at the worst. Ditka was 6-10, 6-10, 3-13. The Katrina year, you can kind of pretend it didn't happen. So basically, for the last 20 years, the Saints have one really, really awful year. The rest is just, at worst, is mediocre. You know, Cleveland fans could do 7-9 standing on their head.
It's almost like he can't hear you, Andrew.
I know. Did you mute me, Ralph?
No.
Okay. Did you hear what I said?
I did hear what you said. Every word.
Like about the negativity and all that stuff.
Yes.
And how that was handed down.
Yeah, yeah.
You agree with that?
I mean, I think to a certain extent, but I think what it is, Andrew, is Saints fans, we want to say we suffer. Like, there's a portion of the fan, we want to say we suffer, when to say, the Saints have been kind of mediocre at times and awesome at other times, and it's not really that bad of suffering. Like, we want to say we suffer, because sports fan, if you're not, like, a champion all the time, you want to say, we suffer, we earned it, you know? Where the Saints, not really, they've been kind of, like, lower middle class most of the last 35-plus years, as far as, like, a sports franchise.
Man, I really doomed us with that first judgment.
You did. No, the audio. It's not the audio that's been bad. It's just the muting.
Mm-hmm.
I guess is there anything? Final question, Cam. Oh, this is a good question, Cam Meredith. Worried? Not worried, Dave.
Worried about what?
His injuries, I guess. Because he's on and out of he misses a lot of practice, then practices, then doesn't. Worried? Not worried.
I'm assuming that's part of a program to bring him back slowly, is it not? I mean, I was under the impression that he was still kind of, you know, still not 100%, but definitely further along than where we expected him to be. I'm not worried about him.
Andrew, worried?
Not worried. No.
Do you think he'll contribute early?
No. I think early he'll have a Brandon Coleman type contribution to the passing game. In other words, 2 catches for 17 yards kind of games.
This is an interesting question from Joe Valente. Is Breeze more likely to retire if the Saints win the Super Bowl or if they have a losing season? I don't think Breeze would retire if they have a losing season, unless he got hurt or something weird. But would he? This is a good question, Dave. I want both of you to answer, but Dave, you can start. Do you think he would? If the Saints win the Super Bowl, do you think Breeze would retire?
No. I think he's gonna play until his body won't let him. To be quite honest with you, I'm serious.
It's hard to pass on $25 million.
Is it really about money at this point in his career? I mean, he's gotta be.
He bought those blue diamonds.
He's got to keep funding those terrible investments.
Andrew, do you think he'd retire?
I'm not saying he would, but man, you got to at least consider it. I mean, you know, how many guys get that opportunity to end it on top? And I think he thinks about it long and hard. If he wins the Super Bowl this season, there's a non-zero chance he retires. I would say it's more likely than not he would. And I believe that Breeze is very much a stats guy. He's very much a legacy guy. So, like, he cares about his numbers. He pays attention to it. Not so much, like, I mean, obviously he cares more about team success, and I don't think he cares so much about it in the moment, but when he reflects at the end of the year and he's like, man, I'm this close to Brett Favre and I'm this close to Peyton Manning, I think he wants to be able to have I think there's something in his mind that he wants to be able, and I think part of it's being a shorter guy, and he's probably got a chip on his shoulder from so many people telling him he'd never be good enough or never tall enough, whatever. But I wouldn't be surprised if there's a little bit of Breeze that wants to end his career with some passing record that says that at least puts him in the discussion for this guy was the greatest ever, you know? And so I think the only thing that would halt him from that goal is finishing on top.
The interesting thing is if they would win and he would own the passing record, the yards record, man, to say I broke the yards record and I hosted the Lombardi Trophy and then I retired, like, I don't think you could end any better than that.
Well, he's going to break the record this year, right?
He's going to break it. I mean, ESPN gambled that he's going to break it against the Redskins. I mean, because they put it on Monday night. I mean, that's their gamble, right?
Right.
So that pretty much wraps it up for today.
He's got to watch for Brady, though, doesn't he?
I mean, yeah, that's true. I mean, that's a good point. He might want to play some more years to pad that sucker, you know? Before we get out of here, I just want to remind people, look, donate a dollar. You get all the patron podcasts. Me and Andrew are going to do a preview for Friday. We're going to do a post-game show of like 10 minutes. You get all that. Plus, you have other cool stuff if you donate that you can become eligible for. So do that. It's awesome. We're $40 away. Andrew, we're $36.50 away from having another full podcast during the week. So it's exciting. So do it. I pray to the Lord Jesus, the audio demons, that this show is good. I don't know. We'll see how it goes. So that's the music for Dave, for Andrew. Until next week, the bar is closed.